This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
7:46 right now, you're listening to Mel and Hun on The Morning Run. And coming up on The Breakfast Grill today, we will be celebrating World Teachers Day today. It is, of course, we've been getting stories from you all morning about your hero teachers. So many people want to weigh in. I just want to say a shout out to Leong Ying Kong, who wants to thank the LaSalle brothers for being dedicated teachers. So today on The Breakfast Grill, in continuation of that celebration of teachers, we have Datuk Frida Pillars, founder of Chempaka Schools. Han, you're going to be speaking to her.
That's right. So Chempaka Schools and I have something in common. No, I did not go there, but we were both born in the same year, 1983.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
So we're going to check in with her. You know, 35 years since Chempaka Schools was founded. It now has two campuses across the Klang Valley. You know, get her thoughts, especially on this World Teachers Day, right, about the state of education here in Malaysia. Is there a growing divide between the private education system versus the public school system? Where are the deficiencies? Where are the pain points? What can the education minister do to really help restore the image of public schools? Because, you know, we were talking about this earlier this morning. He has called for a return of hero teachers.
Hero teachers in the golden era of teachers.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, is that possible? You know, we'll get Dato' Frida's thoughts on that.
Great. More on that in about 15 minutes or so. But let's turn our attention to comments made by the chief economist of East Asia and Pacific region of the World Bank, Sudhir Shetty. Now, he said that Malaysia is expected to buck the trend while other countries in the region continue to see resilient growth. So growth among the large ASEAN countries is expected to remain solid in 2018 and beyond. But Malaysia will be the one exception to this pattern, with slower growth expected this year and all the way up to 2020.
Yeah, recall that the World Bank slashed its forecast for Malaysia's GDP growth this year to 4.9%. You know, and they were not the only ones. Many others did this as well. This came after that sub 5% GDP growth that we saw for the second quarter, right? And that was for the months of April, May, June. And initially, according to the median estimate in the Bloomberg survey, they were still expecting low fives. You know, some of the more pessimistic ones were like high fours, and then it came in at 4.5%. So you've got this downward revision across the board there. Now that it's extended into the next couple of years as well. So for 2020 is 4.6%. Next year it's 4.7%.
All right, yeah. So it's perhaps a gradual decline we might be seeing.
Or
the next
some might
years.
Call it a moderation.
A moderation. Okay, fine. Let's use the term moderation. But as for the fiscal deficit, it will be seeing a narrowing from 2.9% this year to 2.8% next year and 2.5% for 2020. As for the fiscal deficit target of 2.8% GDP, I guess this is still subject to the economy growing above 5%. Otherwise, then it may seem that the government could elect to run a slightly larger fiscal deficit.
Yeah, look, and this is significant, right? Because under the previous administration, you heard about this fiscal consolidation agenda. That plan seems to be intact, but the slope there, that is not as steep as compared to the previous ambitions there. Previously, we heard about perhaps a near balanced budget by 2020. Now, according to the World Bank, now 2020, you're still looking at fiscal deficit of about 2%+ there. So like you pointed out, Mel, a big part of it is due to the growth of the Malaysian economy.
So if it's above 5, then perhaps we can reduce that deficit.
Right. So, you know, perhaps, you know, GDP growth of below 5, that's going to be the new norm, and at least for the next 2 years or so. Why? Because, look, we have seen this already in this Malaysia Baru, like the cancellation of or the shelving of major infrastructure projects. That translates into lower public investment, you know, perhaps the easing of export growth as well. So plenty of factors to take into account.
Yeah, in fact, analysts are saying not just are we seeing cuts in public infrastructure spending, but Budget 2019 is likely to see cuts in areas like defence as well. So anything that we can trim off the fat, the government will be looking to do that.
Well, see, here's the thing, right? There's a difference between trimming off the fat and just pulling back in public spending because, you know,
you want to reduce the deficit.
Or you're reducing spending because you ain't got no money or like got significantly less money. So there are differences there, but we'll see what actually happens.
Well, there is still fat to trim.
Sure.
It's just identifying where that, you know, where our love handles are.
Our love handles.
I speak for the both of us. But, you know, another part of that as well has been the announcement of things like the abolishment of tolls, right? So that was announced not too long ago. But now the Works Minister, Barubian, is saying that the government is considering rebates and discounts or concession extensions for tolled roads.
Yeah. So this is, once again, fascinating, right? Because I was at this ISIS Malaysia conference yesterday, ISIS Malaysia being the Institute of Strategic and International Studies. They had their Praxis Economic Seminar there. It was attended by, you know, policymakers, economists, analysts, people in the financial sector, essentially smart people. I was arguably the dumbest person in the room. I don't know why they let me in. Okay, so they had a couple of polls. One of the polls was about how confident they were in the government fulfilling their promises. And guess what? The majority of them, over 40% of them, were not confident in that actually happening. And we are seeing a translation of that right now.
For what timeline are we looking at?
No timeline specified for that particular
poll. During this term?
In general. Okay. Yeah, so in general. Now, going back to the growth story, right? Here's something that's pretty sobering here. Again, keeping in mind the audience that was there yesterday, right? So the poll question was asked, how likely is Malaysia heading towards a recession in the next 12 months? Now, over 40%, about 45% said not likely. But what's troubling is that about the same amount, 45%, said either likely or very likely. Okay, so the room was pretty divided there. Granted, the majority said either very unlikely or not likely, but then there's still about 45% who still said likely or very likely that Malaysia will head towards a recession in the next 12 months. That's sentiment, right? So there is a tremendous amount of uncertainty right now. It is imperative that policymakers, not just MOF, Bert Negara, Azmin Ali's department, you know, that they try, you know,
they manage the expectations.
Manage those expectations, have clear communication, especially given that we have the 11th Malaysia Plan review coming up and also the budget 2019.
Yeah, and I think, Han, to be completely honest with you, sentiment is often influenced by uncertainty, right?
Yeah.
So if there is clear communication, then sentiment can be, negative sentiment can at least be managed or mitigated because you know what to expect. Even if there's pain expected ahead, at least, you know, the doctor gives you a warning before the needle is stuck into you.
Is that what a doctor does to you?
Yeah.
Oh, my doctor just surprised
you.
Jab.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
But, wrong doctor.
Wrong doctor. I got to change my doctors here. But okay, to be fair to the government of the day, look, you know, that poll there perhaps not reflective of what consumers have been feeling, right? Especially during the GST holiday that we saw, you know, between June and August, right? So we saw this tremendous boost in spending there. We have seen donations to Tabung Harapan, for example, right?
Sure.
But whether that can be sustained for the long term, and that's what policymakers have to take a look at.
You know, you mentioned Budget 2019, Han, as a way to to communicate what to expect and in the policy expectations and to manage sentiment. You know, that we've also spoken to a number of analysts who say this is going to likely be a good budget, but not a goodies budget.
Ah,
right.
Okay.
So how do we then, make that distinction? That because we're so used to the sugar rush of goodies and, you know, to identify it's going to be a good budget.
Well, you've got Saudara YB Lim Guan Eng already trying to manage those expectations, saying he's willing to be the least popular minister or finance minister in Malaysian history. There's talk about this belt-tightening budget there, you know, but there was this point of debate, or rather this discussion, whether or not this, this tone of austerity is actually appropriate at this point in time, as opposed to actually spending to keep the economy chugging along.
Yeah.
You know, for example, when it comes to the 1 trillion ringgit debt that Malaysia has, on one hand, the commentary that we've heard is, oh, we're going to reduce the nominal amount of that debt, right? But there's another argument to be made about reducing the debt to GDP ratio, right? And so whereby if the economy grows faster, like the World Bank says, maybe above 5%, right? Then that debt to GDP ratio is a lot more manageable. So it changes the discussion
Which component do you want to change?
Again, we have to wait and see what policymakers decide in the coming weeks. Again, all eyes November 2nd, Budget 2019.
Well, speaking about policy, Malaysia's new national car project will apparently focus on disruptive technology when it comes to designing our new national car. And this will involve using, say, non-conventional manufacturing options and energy efficient or full electric vehicles. So the idea is for the next national car, the prototype will be released by 2020.
Yeah, so this is according to comments from the president and CEO of the Malaysian Industry Government Group for High Technology, or MITE, and his name being Dato' Dr. Muhammad Yusof Sulaiman.
MITE. Sorry, just to correct myself, the prototype is expected to be rolled out next year, they're followed by the car itself, so the maiden model of the car ready for sale within 2 years. But coming back to MITE, I had to check about them because I wasn't sure. So they're a think tank, aren't they? And they're parked under the PMO's office, Prime Minister's Department.
So they've been involved, you know, in recent years. I think going even back to the 1990s when they're developing, automotive engineering capabilities with the likes of Petronas. There were some even done in tandem with Proton with an eye on the China market, I believe. And that's according to media reports there. So it's not just MITE who might
MITE?
I see what I did there. Wasn't intentional. But anyways,
I could tell.
Yeah, so MITE, they are involved. But then possibly this other company also named Silterra that was started by Tun Mahathir during his first term as PM. Silterra is wholly owned by Khazana and actually is Khazana's second largest money loser. Also, CTRM, that's a subsidiary of DRB Highcom.
Yeah, and that's why I think the MCA Deputy President, Dato' Sri Wikas Yong, had raised concerns about that because Silterra is the second largest money loser in Khazana. So, CTRM, I think, is a subsidiary of DRB Highcom. They own Proton as well. Okay, we've got the 8 o'clock news bulletin coming up next. And after that, our celebration of World Teachers Day, Dato' Frida Pillars on the Breakfast Grill. She's a founder of Champaka Schools. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.